reading to you from the 21st chapter of Revelation in the 7th verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. We had such a wonderful time, my wife and I, at the prison, the women's prison the other day, and 9 ladies accepted Christ. The other day, I tell you, friends, it's amazing what God is doing in prisons. I know that people think only of the church, but my stars in the morning, we're seeing more people saved in our churches, not just my ministry, but many volunteers that go to prisons Sunday after Sunday. We're seeing twice the people saved there that they owe more than that than they are in the churches. Well, anyway, I'll be with you for half an hour at night. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea and a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, and the 4th chapter and verse 4 and 5. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministries. Well, friends, listen. Christians, as well as non-Christians, want to find their niche in life, and I'm no exception. Many years ago, I surrendered to preach. No, I didn't want to be a preacher. I had a very good roofing business in Seattle. I had one of the best churches in the world, I thought. At that time, I had the greatest pastor. He is with Jesus today. And I still think that he was the greatest. He taught me the fundamentals of Christianity. He taught me that soul winning brought a person the greatest satisfaction known unto man, and he was right. The reasons that the churches are today unhappy and people are going from church to church, they're looking for spiritual food. If you are born again, you want to please God. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, and that includes prison. I worked in evangelism for many years, preaching revivals all over America, Alaska, Hawaii, Mexico, Japan, and the Caribbean. My broadcasts reached the west coast of Africa, and I've preached on the radio for 35 years, and I've done many, many TV talk shows across America, and I enjoyed it very much. But nothing has touched my heart like prison ministries. I've had the privilege of preaching 5 times in the Pentagon building to our top military leaders. Listen, I was just a lowly old third-class yeoman, and yet God gave me the privilege of sharing Christ in the place where all top military decisions are made. Yes, as God's Word teaches, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And very, very few people have had this rare privilege of speaking in the Pentagon building. I have to tell you something silly, but one day my wife was there, I was to speak, and there was some great ambassador or somebody from some foreign country was coming there, and they had the bands and the guns and everything ready to celebrate the coming of this guy. And This four-star general was standing at the door of the Pentagon, and as I walked in, I walked over and I tapped him on his shoulder and I said, "General, you didn't have to go to all this problems for me." And I thought he was going to have a heart attack. My wife said, "Why did you do that?" I said, "I just wanted to see the expression on his face." In 1989, I was inducted into the Who's Who in Christian Leadership. That's the same year Billy Graham was inducted. He deserved it. I surely didn't. I have been the executive director of 3 rescue missions in the United States. You say, "Cecil, that's pretty good stats, but what are you trying to tell us?" All these things happened to me to prepare me for prison ministries. It says in 2 Timothy 4:5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." This is how God prepared me for the ministry that he has entrusted my wife and the New Grace Corps with. Bill Adelong, Tex Friedman, and many, many other volunteers I've worked with in prison. I'm not proud of my past. I was plagued with alcoholism since I was 17 years old. I convinced my wife, Jean, if she'd marry me, she couldn't go wrong. Well, she was wrong. I'd lied to her. And, she made a terrible mistake, and she knew it after she married me. But, dear friends, did you know what? I'm glad that she did marry me, because I tell you, I couldn't ask for anybody better in my life than the wife that God gave me. We've had a wonderful walk together. When I was a director of the rescue mission in North Dakota, I had 3 radio broadcasts that cost me $500 a month. Well, the Red Feather, that's what they called it, they gave the mission $500. No, they gave us $800 a month. Well, we had to go in before a group of men to explain our ministry and what we were doing, and they said, "What's this $500 a month for radio broadcasts?" Well, I informed those Pharisees that I was hired to help make a better city of our town and to help the homeless and the needy. If Jesus isn't preached, we might as well close it down and do something else. They said, "Okay, go ahead." We have to take a stand sometimes in the world if we're going to be effective for the Lord. Now that I have that off my chest, I want to tell you what we say to men and women in our prison facilities. We said, "We came here today to tell you we love you and have something to tell you that is the most important message that you will ever hear. We want to tell you how to get your life straightened out while you're here serving your time. We're not talking about pills or shrinks. We're talking about a real person whose name is Jesus. We also go on to tell them of successful people who are on the outside living productive lives because of Jesus. I could tell you dozens and dozens of stories of men and women who were saved in prison who are doing real good today. One man comes to my mind is Ronnie Loyal. He at one time was a state patrolman for the state of Missouri. He was shot up in a battle with crooks, and he got a discharge and a lifetime pension. He said he hardly ever drank, but one night he and some guys got tanked up, and on the road home he went to sleep and crashed headlong into a car, killing the driver. He received 7.5 years in prison. You know, that's where we met him, and he is now saved. He has served his time. He writes gospel songs that are beautiful. Listen, I don't have time to tell you all the people that I know personally who were in prison who are doing well. I remember the federal prison, and I met my quartet, my wife and I met the Cornerstone Quartet. One, they're all out of prison now. One's a pastor of a church, and the other's a choir director. I don't know where the other two is. Let's not forget that the Apostle Paul and Peter and a few who did time in prison. I've been questioned by people who ask me if we're not wasting our time with those kind of people. I ask them, didn't God make those kind of people? And didn't he die for those kind of people? Look at the woman at the well. She was immoral. God saved her. Look at the woman that was taken in adultery. God forgave her. Who are we to say God doesn't want those people to be saved? Look at Mary. Now let's talk jailhouse religion. Yes, there's such a thing. Men and women alike tell you that they have asked Jesus to save them, and then they were released and went right back into crime. That's jailhouse religion. The Bible tells us that if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creature. They have new hearts. Their hearts of stone have been removed, and they received a heart of flesh. Jesus knew that there would be people who would reject prisoners. Why do you think I was in prison and you visited me not? That's what he said. Is everyone called to prison ministries? No, 1,000 times. No, some are called to be pastors. Some are called to be evangelists. Reverend Ken Jackson, a great soul winner and a great Bible teacher, he's out of place in prison. That wasn't his call. Yes, there are hundreds of men and women here in Colorado who should be volunteering for prison ministries, but they're too busy with the church. Friends, we are the church. Some people get into the church and work their hearts out and accomplish nothing. Some even believe that if you really work hard for Jesus, that will get you into heaven. Won't happen, dear friends. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Well, one time my wife, my quartet, and I went to the women's prison in Pueblo. It's a big prison. And we went in there and we started setting up our equipment. And the chaplain came and said, "Oh, don't set up the equipment here." Why? Well, because it's not going to be big enough to handle a crowd tonight. Well, what's the deal? Well, he said, "Cecil, I showed your movie Against All Hope. And this place is going to be packed to the ceiling." Sure enough, it was packed. And the quartet got up and sang, and I got up and shared Christ. And dear friends, during the invitation, 26 women came forward and accepted Christ. The quartet and my wife and I held a meeting, one for the men and one for the women. 50 men and women were saved that Sunday. I asked people on my radio broadcast to pray for these men and women. And Bill and I have seen lots and lots of young men saved at the boys' prison facilities in Brush, Colorado. One Sunday, I spoke at the boys' facility in Golden, Colorado. These are the tough boys that they have called boot camp. And I'm telling you, it's as tough as any Marine boot camp you'll ever see. And I only had just a few minutes to speak, and I got up and I told them this. There was 49 young men gave their heart to Christ, and the next day they were transferred to another part of the country, and I would have never met them. Here's what I told them. That after my mother died, my dad married the meanest woman on earth. She had beat me and locked me in a basement, and I'd sleep on the floor. Then one time she knocked me out, but this time my dad saw it. She threw me out, told me never to return, and I didn't. Dad put me in the Navy when I was 17, and 2 months later he dropped dead. Because of the grief, I took to the bottle and ended up as a terrible alcoholic. I got married, and I led my wife a life of hell. She put up with me until one night I came home and ordered her to fix me a drink, and she poured her liquor down the sink, and I grabbed for the bottle, but instead I tore her blouse, and that did it. She said, "It's all over. I'm taking the three boys and we're going back to Portland." But that night I kidnapped my son, and at 3 a.m. I went to an old drinking buddy of mine and asked him to take care of my son. She wasn't going to have him, I decided. And I noticed a Seattle phone directory, and I started looking for a friend who I might call. Then I thought I heard a voice saying, "There's no hope. Take your truck and drive it over the cliff, and you'll be home free." I knew enough about God to know He doesn't tell people to kill themselves. Well, friends, in the Yellow Pages, I came across clergymen. And I saw the first name on the list was Reverend Tom Baird. And at 3 a.m., I dialed him and told him that I was going to take my life. And he begged me to come see him first. And there is where I heard the greatest love story ever told in a man. For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. That morning, I fell on my knees and cried out to Jesus to forgive my sins and to save me. Tears were streaming down my face. Oh, I'm telling you, dear friends, I just couldn't believe that that could happen to me. I couldn't believe, friends, that God could love me. Some of you listening tonight, you've lived a wasted life. You've been into pornography. You've been into drugs. You've been into alcohol. You've been into sexual sins, trying to find peace, trying to find something that will satisfy. Beloved, you'll never find it apart from Jesus. One time there was a man called Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night. And he said, "You must be from the Lord, because no man doeth the miracles that you do except God be with him." And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Oh, dear friends, listen to me. He was a good man. He was religious, member of the Sanhedrin court, but he was lost. His religion was not enough to get him into heaven. Friends, did you know that religion is man-made, salvation is God-made? Now, you might just be trying your best to do the best you can. And it's logical to think maybe you could be good enough to get into heaven, but it can't happen. Nobody will ever get into heaven except they've been born again. And you say, "Well, see, so wait a minute. I go to a good church." I'm not condemning you for going to a good church. I'm not condemning you for that. I'm saying if you haven't recognized that you are a sinner, and the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? Now, we have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross to bear your sins and my sins. He was sinless, but he took your sins and my sins, and they nailed him to that tree. And there he met two men. One was a thief. Both of them were thieves, but one of them said, "If you be the Son of God, come on down off that cross and save yourself." And the other man said, "Hey, listen, man, this fellow's done no wrong." And then he turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom." And Jesus said, "From this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, he said, "Lord," he recognized that Jesus was Lord. He'd never been to church. He'd never been baptized. He'd never joined a church. But there on the cross, he found Jesus. And there's where it was settled. Now, I'm going to ask you, have you settled it tonight? You say, I don't know. I ask the Lord to forgive my sins all the time. Have you recognized him as the Son of God? Have you recognized him as the Savior of the world? Now, God made it possible for you and I to be saved. Now, where did we lose fellowship with God? Back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve, our grandparents, sinned. They were cast forth out of the garden. Now, they used to use, bullocks and birds and other things for sin offering, but that wouldn't happen no more. Jesus was the sin offering, the final one, the only one that could satisfy God. God cannot look on sin, beloved. He's a fair and just God, but he is a holy God. He can't look on sin. Now, when you and I sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he said we're to go to him, confess it. Like, for instance, let's say that you're born again, and you're doing real fine, and one day you decide you're going to cheat on your income tax. And so you cheat. You actually cheat. Deliberately cheat, so that you won't have to pay so much money. That's a sin. You need to recognize it. You need to go to God. You need to confess it. You need to make it right. You know, I tell men and women in prison, look, every one of us we've had ought against people. But we have to forgive people who've hurt us. Now, my stepmother took me 45 years to really get that under my hide. I had to forgive her, and I did. I went to her home. I hugged her. I kissed her, and I told her I was sorry that her and I never got along. She never told me she was sorry. But, friend, she didn't have to. I had to make things right. I had to tell her I was sorry. If you have aught against your heart, I'm telling you, friend, against somebody, make it right. Because if you don't forgive somebody else, God won't forgive you. That's what he said. Now, I want you to know that every broadcast, and you know I do, I always give an invitation. And I wouldn't miss it tonight. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you accepted Christ many years ago. And you were on fire for the Lord, and you were doing great, and you're doing Bible study, doing witnessing, personal evangelism. But someone hurt you, and you got cold and indifferent. Maybe the pastor hurt you. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to come back to Jesus tonight. And you need to tell him. In fact, the matter is, I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now. Dear Lord, for those who have at one time were on fire for the Lord, who now are cold and indifferent and no longer serving you, Father, bring them back to Jesus. No, they haven't lost their salvation, I know, but they've lost the joy of their salvation. Help them, Lord, to come back and make it right. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you do not know for sure, you can't say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. No, no, no. Do you know for sure? This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. I beg of you tonight, if you haven't trusted Jesus, beg to bow your head with me right now. If you feel that tugging at your heart, and oh, don't pray this unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll forgive my sins. Lord, I've been terrible. I've lived a wasted life. I open my heart right now, Lord, and receive you as my personal Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I don't care where you go to church. You might be you could be a Baptist, you could be a Catholic, you could be a Episcopalian, Lutheran. I don't care. Just bring your sins to Jesus. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
The blood.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. By the way, I want to tell you how I feel. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling stronger every day. Thank you, dear friends, for your prayers. Oh, I know a lot of you are praying for me, and I pray for my listening family, too. Well, friends, until this next time, next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Oh, friends, listen. Get into God's Word. Pray daily. Pray hourly. Ask Him what He wants for your life. He's got something for you. Nobody is a least in the kingdom. He wants every one of us to love Him and to serve Him, and He wants to bless us. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.